This is Rot.
The 1973 Rugby League Grand Final. Freddie Jones and Tommy Bishop are having a nice old blue. Bishop was kicking him. Fisher went in and dealt a lethal blow at the same time. Fair dinkum, I've never seen the start of a match like this before. This is unbelievable. There's punches in every tackle as Martin goes in now and makes the tackle on Maguire. Boots, fists, you name it, they're all in there. Jones then went in to take Wellman. Paid. Bishop's come in and hit Jones now. You can't describe this. Fair dinkum, they're throwing everything by the kitchen sink at each other.
Tough and dirty as any barroom brawl was chosen by one Sydney newspaper to describe the 73 Grand Final.
Oh,
50,000 spectators at the ground and millions more on television saw the Sharks and the Eagles do their level best to tear each other to pieces in the first half. The grand final that was to be compared with the Battle of Brisbane and the Battle of Leeds. What a match. 25 minutes into the game and the tragedy that had been waiting round the corner for Manly eventually struck. Malcolm Reilly, their superstar lock forward, had to leave the field. He was replaced by John Bucknell, who'd played a full 80 minutes in the reserve grade grand final. Then a mass caution was issued by referee Keith Page. The 26 players were grouped together in centre field and Page cautioned them all. It was only then that they started to play rugby league at its best.
Wow. Abrupt there. And before we introduce him, because we're a show about boxing that is about life and wherever we go, whether it's politics or business, but presenting to you out of the red corner, originally from southwestern New South Wales, a little town called Junee, the Riverina, Wiradjuri country, always was, always will be, and still the reigning and defending heavyweight champion of Australian broadcasting, presenting the GOAT, Ray Rabbits Warren. G'day, Dad.
How you going, son?
I'm all right.
Oh, what an introduction.
What an introduction. Well, I bought the record player so I could play the vinyl.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I sounded like that. Anyway.
Ray, I have to tell you, your son was grinning ear to ear listening to that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one of his favourite pastimes, I think. I actually made they called them a floppy disk, I think. And they were retailed by Caltex for stations. Not many got retailed, I've got to tell you. But it's a bit scary listening to it back because I was always one to idolise Ken Howard, and I tried desperately to sound like Ken Howard.
Yeah.
And I can hear it there, right there. I can hear this young fellow that wants to be a sports broadcaster. And I've got very much the Ken Howard twang, which I've worked desperately to get rid of, to be honest with you.
Well, you're talking to JJ Rocker, unsurpassed boxing IQ, unparalleled, in fact, but he loves his footy as well. And he thought, we've got to talk to the GOAT in the lead-up to the grand final. And so is it a fairy tale finish for arguably the greatest player of all time, or can this bunch of kids from the Mount Druitt area that played so much junior football together, will their confidence grab another grand final, another victory? They did it in 91 after succumbing to Canberra in 1990. They did it again in 2003. Can they do it, the kids from Western Sydney, in 2020?
Oh, yeah, you've got to say they can do it, Mark and JJ. I mean, you don't win 17 straight with an ordinary football team, and Penrith is extraordinary. They're not just ordinary. 17 straight, you've pointed out they've got so many players that know each other inside out. Then again, on the other side of the coin, you've got the professional grand finalists in Melbourne. 23 years, that's their history, 23 years. And they will have competed by Sunday in 10 grand finals and winning five, and led by two wonderful professionals in Craig Bellamy and Cameron Smith. So the opposition is is a big one, Melbourne. But Penrith, they beat them in round six up at Campbelltown. Out of that Melbourne side was Jerome Hughes and Josh Adokar.
Yeah, two massive outs.
So, you know, I think these kids can get the job done, to be honest with you.
And there seems to be this aura of invincibility around the club. Calling so many of their games this year, has there been a special feeling around them, even in the warm-ups and running out? What makes them such a special team?
Well, I think, JJ, on Saturday night, I went through their bios closely, and I found that seven of the 2015 Holden Cup side, of the Holden Cup side from 2015 are in this side for Penrith today. You know, kids that came together from St Mary's and St Clair and all that sort of those suburbs out there, they breathe them tough and they play good football. They love it. But at the, you know, the point is that it's the camaraderie, and then you throw in the experience of people like Carmo and Coruscant and James Fisher. Well, actually, James Fisher Harris was in that that group of seven that I just mentioned, playing in the Holden Cup in 2015. That's where they get the camaraderie from. They'll die for each other.
Yeah,
they really will, and they enjoy life together. They really do.
Well, they reckon they're going to play basketball and not break the tradition. They've been playing, I think. Well, Gus was originally set up the complex out there. They're talking about not breaking the tradition and playing basketball at their training centre, the centre of excellence, I think about 4 hours prior. I don't know what Coach Cleary thinks about that, but why break a winning habit? It's worked so far.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But it's a bit like those cars that they sell down there in
we're brought to you by we're brought to you by Sydney City Toyota for this one, and Lexus. In fact, your wife sure drives a Lexus, does she not? Are you trying to get me out of a job? I mean, I'm an ambassador there, Ray. Come on now. But the Lexus is still going well, isn't it?
It is. It's a great vehicle, and I've had it since 2007, and it's done 140 k's, and it's never. It hasn't even got a bruise on it, so...
Yeah, you'll have it until 2077 if you wish. They just keep going, those things.
Oh, absolutely. It'll go around another four times. But anyway, yeah, no, if it's not broken, why fix it? And if they want to throw some hoops 3 hours before the game, it's worked for them prior. And Hayden Knowles is saying that he's quite shocked by it, but they love it. They put the big woofer on and they do a bit of dancing, throw a few hoops, and it's hilarious that we're talking like this about a team that's won 17 matches in a row.
I know.
Now in the grand final.
And the media's talking about the occasion. Will the occasion affect this young playing group? It doesn't seem to faze them whatsoever, does it?
No, that's another good point, JJ. Keep in mind, though, people like Nathan, he's played Origin in a winning combination.
Yeah.
Josh Mansour, he's played at the top level. But other than that, they're 20, Crichton's 20, the others are 22, 23, 24. And you've got the Tamos and the Coruscants that have played in grand finals. As I said, you've got that sprinkling of age, but you need the brilliance and the speed of youth. And I think you can turn that into an advantage.
What do we take out of last week's match, the Storm? They broke out of the gates like Usain Bolt, and from there it was catch-ups for the Raiders, who I think won the second 40-10-6, I'll stand corrected. How does I heard you say on a very rare piece to camera a couple of weeks ago for very obvious reasons, I heard you say that one of the most powerful forces in sport is momentum. How does Penrith harness that momentum? This mob jumped out of the gate and went whack, 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 and the Raiders were on the ropes.
Yeah, well, again, that is a bit of a problem, but it cuts both ways if you think about it. Penrith has won 17 in a row, so they've obviously got momentum going with them anyway. I just think these kids have got to hang in, get the feel of a, get the smell of a grand final, but they've got to be aware that Melbourne, they came out, as you say, they came out running. They came out running like an escapee. And all of a sudden, you got all those tries on the board. But they were playing against a side that night that looked like they were stunned. They were like a rabbit in the headlights. But you can use the word momentum to both sides. That's the point I'm making.
And how do you see this weekend's game going? We've seen in the final series a lot of one side starts really fast and then the other side kind of edges it back. Do you see a similar game this Sunday?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. In fact, we made mention of that the other night. It's almost a danger. It's almost a danger to spring out of the boxes and lead because you're going to get run down. But I think I'd love to come out of the boxes and lead 12-0 or something in a grand final. I really would like to do that. I'd hate to see Penrith trying to play catch-ups with this team they've got. I'd ideally love to see them, the front runners in this match, because Melbourne, when they have rolled over, it's sometimes, well, it more or less it works hand-in-hand with the fact that they're trailing. When they're playing catch-ups, they're not the well-oiled machine that they can be when they're wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, most definitely.
The Panthers shooting for 18 straight. They're led by their star halfback, Nathan Cleary, and, of course, coached by Ivan. And they'll look to be the second father and son to do it again since John and Martin Lang did it in 2003. And that tackle by Scott Sattler that again brought the trophy back 55 k's out of the centre of Sydney at the foot of the mountains. Do we draw a parallel? I remember my first job in radio and doing an interview with you in 1990. And you told me on the Mark Warren Drive, by the way, Ray, playing favourites to our
yes, yes, yes.
And,
yes.
And you know that I was a mad Panther at the time and playing some of my most very, very average football out at St Mary's on my return from...
Yeah, I remember it well, yeah.
From Griff. You said to me back then, and many people since have said, oh, well, that's just a saying, forget about that, and people have thrown it out the window, but you thought that that young Penrith side needed to lose one to win one. And you were right on that occasion in 1990. They came back in 91, and the rest is history. It was a Rolls-Royce, an MG, and a special nip of brandy, and they turned a country town into a city that we see today. Do you see a similar parallel? Are they going to get caught in the spotlights that we mentioned before?
I probably do apply the same theory today. I've got a feeling that it's always nice to be there and you can say, well, we did that last year. We're still feeling the pain of what happened.
Yeah.
So we've got a second chance. Let's go and do it. Let's go and do it for ourselves in the next year. Well, we're talking hypotheticals here, but... I've already made the point that this is a different scenario. You've got all these kids that have been together for 6 or 7 years, even longer. They were playing against each other, and they know each other inside out. As I said, they would die for each other.
Then you've got
the splash of experience, some grand final experience, and some Origin experience. So. And the bloke that's going to take them around the park, he has done it at Origin level. So they probably, if I'm right, they could prove to be an exception to what I was saying to you back in 1990.
How do I say this respectfully? You're going to call a match with your great friend Gus Gould, the most polarising figure in rugby league, Freddie and Joey, who have had stars written all over the brand Nathan Cleary from day one. And I probably didn't jump on the bandwagon as quickly. And I think, you know what? I think a lot of people are in the same boat. Yeah. But they are geniuses for a reason when it comes to rugby league. He's gone to another level.
I think he has, and I think I know the reason why. I know it sounds crazy, but with the departure of James Maloney, I think he feels more able to make decisions and take control of where we're going on the park. When are we going to give the football back to them? Where are we going to give it back to them? And I think he probably was a little bit intimidated by playing alongside a bloke like Maloney. That, I'm not saying that he didn't like Maloney, but I think it's a little bit like Andrew Johns, really. I remember his Origin debut. I think he was number nine, and he had people around him, I think like the Dalys and the Fittlers, and the kid, Johns, he was intimidated, but all of a sudden, as the older fellas dropped off and left the team, he grew as a leader, and he was no longer intimidated. So I think I might be on the right track in suggesting to you that with Maloney's departure, I think Nathan has blossomed.
I completely agree, and I think what else has helped Nathan's game is he's got the perfect partner in crime with Jerome Luai as well. I think they complement each other tremendously.
Yeah, no, you're right. And Luai's game is so different to Nathan. See, exactly. Nathan's not a Steve Mortimer. He's probably not even a Peter Sterling. He might be better than both of them. But then you got Jerome Luai. He's got Michael Jackson feet. You know, he should have been in Dirty Dancing. Really,
that was Swayze.
I love calling players like that. you can't go back this far, but people like Phil Blake, they had these fantastically light feet. And they were there, and then they're gone. There they are, they're gone. And Kalyn Ponga's the same. They're beautiful to watch.
Most definitely.
Whereas Nathan, he's standing at the helm, and he's got the wheel. He's keeping his eye out for any dangers that might be out there, any red markers or whatever.
I'm certainly up to speed on Phil Blake and the dancing feet, but at 25 years of age, a fresh 25, JJ would have to go back to the videotape. He's also got another big plus, Jerome Luai. Again, I sort of see a bit of Benji Marshall, a young Benji Marshall, about Jerome Luai. He's going to have his bodyguard back. He's going to have Kevin Costner out there on the paddock with him, a bloke called Kickow. That's got to be a big plus for the Panthers.
Well, that's a point that's been a little bit overlooked. The fact that Kickow is coming back, I read today in the paper where Hayden Knowles, he was saying he was looking at the boys celebrating after winning, and suddenly he noticed this fellow Kickow, and he thought, oh my God, he's got to come back into this side. they'd sort of lost sight of the fact they were out there without one of their strike players, and how good is he? He's picked up a Dally M for second rower of the year.
The bookmakers have got it this way. I know that you do not bet on rugby league, but absolutely everything else. He's never had a bet on rugby league, ever.
Good on you, Rab.
Not even a double at the old Cumberland Oval. But head-to-head, that was before it was Parramatta Stadium, before it was Bank West, JJ. I'm just trying All to right. give you a little bit of history as we travel here. So the Tab have got it lined up this way, as you did a Tab campaign last year. Hello, Tab. Long may we play. The Panthers, $2.20 head-to-head. The Storm, $1.72. At the line, $1.90. The Panthers getting two. The Storm conceding to $1.90. If pushed in punting parlance, is there value there?
I'm sort of damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
You
if
are.
I answer the question because a lot of people would love to have a punt. I don't see a lot of value in those prices, to answer your question.
Okay. I tell you what, I see value in this. I've been having a little flutter, only a little flutter because you don't like me gambling. But total match points, usually around the 42, 43, 44 mark, they field their market. This one, for two attacking sides, over 36.5, total match points, $1.90. Under 36.5, $1.90. I see a bit of value there from two sides that have got so many points in them.
I think you're saying that you want to back the overs.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that, but you're quite right. I don't bet on football, and that's mainly because I'm broadcasting, and probably because, you know, $1.90 or $1.70 and that sort of stuff. I'd rather try and back a winner at 8 or 9 to 1. You know,
we can give some start if that helps. If you'd like me to update you there, how much start?
I was trying to make the point that I can find a race at Muswellbrook or somewhere like that where there's probably only two hopes and they're both 5 to 1.
Just a segue because we go anywhere on this show. Yeah, as people listen to us in Vegas and London and LA, they're saying, what is this? Well, we're talking about the Super Bowl of Australian rugby league, of Australian sport, but then they would differ with us in Melbourne, South Australia, Western Australia, but that's a whole different segue. But a gentleman by the name of Les Bridge took out the richest race on turf, the Everest, with Classique Legend, and says it's the best horse he's ever trained. A mad South Sydney supporter, and I come back to rugby league. Souths last week, my goodness gracious, were they brave, courageous, and every other superlative you want to throw at it. They were busted and gone and there for the taking, and they hung in.
Yeah, well, they're probably like Les Bridge. Les, I think you're right, 81, 82, and he was telling anybody that wanted to listen that Classique Legend would win.
Mm.
He was adamant, and he doesn't normally talk like that. When I was doing racing, he was a close friend. He was through marriage related to Ken Howard, from memory. But
a mad South Sydney supporter.
Yeah, for him to say, yeah, absolutely. But for him to say, it's the best horse he's ever had his hands on. You've got to understand that he's trained winners of Melbourne Cups, Golden Slippers, Melbourne Cup with Ken's Eye, and he had a great horse called Sir Dapper.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's not as though he was saying, oh, gee, I've got an outstanding horse here. He's had many outstanding horses. But that's getting off the subject of rugby league.
But you did have an investment there. I heard it in the call. Yeah. Gus gave you up. He said you're in a good mood.
No, I was sending a cheerio and a shout out to Les Bridge. Really, I had about five and tuppence on it, to be quite frank with you. Right. But the gods, the sporting gods, they picked the right bloke last weekend to be the trainer of that winner.
Beautiful. And switching it back to rugby league, we talk about conversations about family ties and how the Clearys are tying in with what a special day Sunday could be for them. I just want to share with you now, and I'd kick myself if I didn't get to share it with you. This is a bit of a pinch yourself moment for me to be able to speak to the GOAT. You're the voice that I used to play rugby league on the school oval, and we used to commentate our own games with your voice. So I don't know rugby league without your voice. So there are whispers that Cameron Smith, the GOAT, might be walking away on Sunday, and there are whispers and talk around the water cooler that there might be two GOATs having their last grand final on Sunday. So, Ray, on behalf of the whole rugby league community and my whole experience with rugby league, I just want to thank you for how special you've made the game for us all.
Well, that's lovely. Yeah, that's a very nice thing to say, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I was laughing in the background, but I can just see you running down the paddock and somebody's screaming out, somebody stop him, he'll run out of the stadium or something like that. But no, you've just turned the waterworks on a little bit there, JJ. But no, I'm not saying anything either.
Well, you've got Origin to come yet and you're contracted for another 2 years.
Well, I'm only a casual when it comes to calling football. They gave me the right to work if I want to work. So it's a nice situation that I'm in, to be honest with you.
They've been very good to you, Channel 9, haven't they? The Wyball to Sports.
No, they've been fantastic. But you know, I've got to be honest. I mean, it was a goal of mine one day to work for Channel 9. you know, I used to watch Ken Howard and Johnny Tapp and Clarence the Clocker and Richie Beno and Bill Laurie, and the list goes on. Lou Richards in Melbourne, all that stuff. All those people, beautiful people. And I thought that's my dream. Number one, I need to get into what I want to do. And we know what that pain is like. But I landed on exactly the planet I wanted to land on over at Willoughby. Yeah.
I remember my first grand final. JJ said, "What's it like to be Ray Warren's son?" And he talks about being John Rocker's son, Mr. Lexus, the leader of the automotive industry. My first grand final that I can remember was 1975. I actually went to my first In the Box. And it's infamous for Graham Langlands, immortal, white boots, the Roosters, Jack Gibson's Roosters do a job. 38 points to nil, I leave crying. Another grand final that stands out for me was I was about 16, 17 years of age when Channel 10, in their wisdom, said see you later to the GOAT and sacked him at the end of 86, which I think he's going to say did him a favour. And I always remember the words on that grand final because I think, Dad, correct me, Cronin and Price retired. Cronin and Price retired and Parramatta win the grand final, a trialist grand final, and he said words to the effect, "I'm very low on regret, I'm very high on disappointment, but I'm going out in very good company." I'll never forget that one. And then there was a time in the wilderness. So whatever happens on the weekend, it may be another opportunity where two goats leave the arena, but I don't know. He doesn't know. He changes his mind every morning. How is the garden, by the way, Ray?
It's got a bit of growth in it suddenly, and it's gone green, and now it's sort of telling me it needs a mow, and that's good because it gives me something to do. But you're right about all of that. 1986. As you know, and people like Chris and yourself and your mum, you sort of prop me up. And reassured me that we would come back.
And Gus and Joey and Freddie will prop you up on Sunday, and you're going to see it all from midday on Nine's Wide World of Sports. It's live and free. It's not in HD in my living room. but you can tune in and see all the action free-to-air on Nine. But now we have to get a tip. Which way are you going?
Oh, well, I probably preempted that when we started talking, but I think the kids from Penrith can get it done. Yeah, I know it's a colossus. 23 years they've been in the competition, and they're playing in their 10th grand final.
Yeah.
And Bellamy's in his 9th grand final to equal Bennett. Cameron, he doesn't need any introduction, twice the Dally M Player of the Year, Golden Boot winner. God knows what he's not, you know, he's a fantastic leader. I don't know whether he's retiring either, but I just think the Penrith kids can get it done.
Yeah, I think it's a case of you don't know what you don't know, and I don't think these kids know what losing is. They've been that successful coming through the grades that they've got that air of invincibility. They look at themselves, and I don't think they put themselves in a position where they think it's too far out of reach. I think they're going to get it done as well.
Well, JJ, I hope we're both right. It'll probably be the first time we've agreed. What are we going to put our money on? But I won't be putting any money on it. But I just give them, if we go back to the conversation we had about gambling, if there's going to be any value, it'll be around them. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
So, JJ, your tip? You're tipping Penrith?
Penrith.
Gee, well, I'll be cheering for the Panthers. But I think it's going to be shades of 90 into 91, and I'll back the Panthers for 2021. But I see Cameron Smith on 430 matches and steering them, slowing it up, putting the foot down when needed, and navigating this storm outfit with a bloke that we haven't mentioned, Dad, Craig Bellamy, who will go down alongside Wayne Bennett and the original supercoach, Jack Gibson. Probably the one thing we haven't touched on, Craig Bellamy. Wow, what an influence as his roster continues to change over and over and over and players compete above their weight.
Absolutely. You know, I think Melbourne, the first thing they examine with somebody is what attitude have you got and what aspirations have you got. And once they pass those two tests, then he gives them a simple job to do. And that's why there's so many people that have gone to Melbourne that were probably in the eyes of other people just an average player or maybe over the hill. He gives them a simple job to do, and they get it done. And when the familiar sound of Cooper Cronk or the familiar sound of Cameron Smith demands possession, demands the ball, part of the education is with those fellows, just get out of the road and tackle your guts out when we have them coming out of that corner down there or that corner down there. But that's the ingredients. What's your attitude like? What's your character like? What's your aspiration? Never mind about how good you are or otherwise. Just here's a simple job for you to do. Go out and do it.
Before we wrap things up, will Donald Trump win the election? Let's talk about the big issues. Segway.
Keep America great again, boys. Yeah. I think he'll get home. So there you go. I've tipped the two outsiders.
Hang on, I'll check the price. Speaking of value,
the last I checked, he was at 288.
Yeah, they say it's all over, bar the shouting. But I think he'll be there. They said the same 4 years ago. We've dodged coronavirus. We've dodged Palaszczuk and the West Australian Premier. But Peter Volandis has done an absolutely brilliant job to Project Apollo becomes rugby league, becomes grand final day. The man's a genius. Wow, he's done a job.
Yeah, it's been a show of confidence and a show of resilience. There's a lot of words to describe what's happened here. It was compared... I see in the paper this morning it was compared to JFK saying I want to put a man on the moon and I'd like to do it before the end of the decade. And this was very much why it was called the Apollo. They were reenacting their version of rugby league, landing on the moon or landing on its feet and being able to put the bubbles together around the states and so forth. Yeah, no, he's been a breath of fresh air, hasn't he?
Yeah, it is. How will you spend grand final morning?
Oh, well, mate, I probably will have done most of my work, to be honest with you. But
sounds like you have. You've been, my goodness gracious, you've done some homework. It's Tuesday as we produce this, and we'll drop this, Ray. We're going to drop this on Thursday, podcast jargon.
I'll just go back through whatever I've been doing over the last few days and double-checking my notes and double-checking what information I've gathered that I think is possibly relevant to the game. It's got to be relevant to the game. But I think you agree. You can't overdo the stats thing. I know that. But there are so many stats involved in this game that are going to have to get a mention somewhere. I mean, if they win, Penrith, they will blow the record out of the park for most consecutive wins culminating in a grand final.
Yeah.
I'm talking about blowing it out of the park. It's currently held by South Sydney, 55, and Manly, 72, at 11 consecutive. So if Penrith wins with 18, as I said, they're going to smash it to smithereens.
Yeah, most definitely.
So there's another little piece of information that Middleton David has been giving me. It's all very interesting stuff.
And it's quite spooky because I do believe the streak started with a win over Melbourne as well. So it'd be crazy to be able to start the streak with Melbourne and then finish in the grand final with Melbourne also.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, it's ironic or it's coincidental. I don't know what you call it, but I didn't think of that. Well done, JJ.
We're going to wrap this up, JJ. Lastly,
I have a question for you, Mark.
Yep.
What's it like to be the GOAT's son?
Well, it's been a journey. And then sometimes I got to a point, sure, Dad's wife is like my older sister. And I got a mum that's a rock and been there the whole time. In fact, this man will tell you she did so much of the heavy pulling as I grew up. And so, and I'm going to pull this into what Dad has taught me as well. So growing up, I was very much Ray Warren's son.
Mm.
And that can be hard personally and then professionally. But like Dad, as time goes on, so many people mean it in such an affectionate, respectful manner, particularly our Australian Lebanese community. There are some people that wanted to have a beer with you or say g'day and introduce you as Ray Warren's son purely, I'll say it, out of name dropping. But our friends or the people just have so much respect for Dad. They just mean it in a very respectful, polite, humble manner. So I just go with it. He used to hate people taking him off. He used to hate it.
Yeah.
But now he goes with it and sees it, I think, maybe badge of honour is going a step too far, but we handle it okay. And I'll say it's been an absolute privilege to have a father and also a man that will go down as the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
And I think I've said enough. And with that, you can run out of the stadium, Ray.
Ha 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 ha!